Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, our text from Pastor Stephen Schultz, when he preached here, was John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." And then next after that, last Sunday was Good Shepherd Sunday also, John 10, 11, "I am the Good Shepherd." And today I'm going to focus especially on John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, don't you love it when you see a tiny little person like Francesca brought to holy baptism? What a wonderful expression of God's amazing grace, his pure gospel, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, word alone. This little girl, too young to bring any good works to the table. But now this morning, she's been baptized into Christ, received the washing of regeneration, new birth, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. I love the other word for baptism. Christening, baptized into Christ. Francesca will from now on be a Christ person, a Christian, someone who's been christened. And if you're watching, as probably most of us were, the coronation, there was a special anointing with the Holy Spirit of King Charles yesterday for his work, his service as a king, as a Christian king specifically. The great English poet and playwright William Shakespeare was a devout Protestant Christian. Shakespeare was a contemporary of Queen Elizabeth I, and he loved his queen. Elizabeth was the daughter of King Henry VIII's second wife, Anne Boleyn. Shakespeare calls her Anne Bullen, that unfortunate lady who lost her head on Henry's chopping block. But thankfully, she'd already borne Elizabeth. Given birth to Elizabeth. Anne was a Lutheran. In his play Henry VIII, Anne's enemy, Cardinal Wolsey, describes her as a spleeny Lutheran. I don't know that we Lutherans are more spleeny than any other people on earth, but that's quite an expression, a spleeny Lutheran. He didn't like her at all. Shakespeare doesn't dwell on Henry's faults, however. He doesn't say anything about Henry's six marriages and how he'd executed two of his wives. None of that comes into his play, Henry VIII. He just praises Henry for bringing his daughter to baptism and entrusting the baptism to the good Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Cranmer. Henry says to the Archbishop, "My Lord of Canterbury, I have a suit which you must not deny me. That is, a fair young maid that lacks baptism. You must be godfather and answer for her." And then Henry appoints two godmothers and he says, "Let's not waste time, let's not trifle time away. I long to have this young one made a Christian. I long to have this young one made a Christian." This morning, Pastor David, you played the part of the Archbishop. You were the Cranmer, and together with Nadia and Victor and the godparents, you saw to it that this young one was made a Christian. Now, as we know, some Christians, some churches have a problem with infant baptism. They insist you must first reach the age of accountability, usually as a teenager or later, and then make your own decision for Christ. But there's no exception clause in our risen Lord and Saviour's great commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, where he says, and Pastor David read that already, "All authority in heaven on earth is given to me. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptising them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you. And see, I'm with you always, all the days, to the end of the age." No exception clause here. No, we don't hear anywhere, except the children, don't baptise them. It's not there. Our Lord and God lays it out for us. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And don't small children love learning about Jesus? Love being Christians and letting the Lord Christ be their great teacher and friend. Now, many of you will have heard this story from me again, but when our children were very young in the Western Highlands, Anne, our daughter, was 3. Michael, our youngest, was 1. And one day Christine overheard Anne, the 3-year-old, instructing her young brother on Easter and the resurrection. He's going to open our graves, he's going to dig us up, and he's going to brush the dust off. Now, you can't tell me that a small child can't believe and doesn't believe. And in connection with an infant baptism such as we've seen now, we pray that the child will be filled with faith and with the Spirit. We see in the book of Acts and in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians how whole households, whole families come to faith and baptism. The family of Crispus is mentioned in Acts 18:8. The word household is used, but it means family. And Stephanus' family in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Our second reading this morning, or was it our first reading, was the martyrdom of St. Stephen. One of the early Christian martyrs was Bishop Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, which is modern-day Izmir in Turkey. And he had actually known the elderly apostle St. John. When Polycarp was put on trial because he refused to worship Caesar as a god and put incense on Caesar's altar, which every citizen was supposed to do once a year, when the magistrate persisted and said, "Polycarp, swear the oath and I'll release you, revile Christ," Polycarp's reply, "For 86 years I have been his servant and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" But as the magistrate continued to insist, saying, "Swear by the genius of Caesar," he answered, "If you vainly suppose that I will swear by the genius of Caesar and pretend not to know who I am, listen carefully. I am a Christian. Now, if you want to learn the teaching of Christianity, name a day and give me a hearing." In the end, this courageous, faithful old bishop, a Christian since his baptism 86 years ago, was burned at the stake. Now, today, faithful Christians aren't burned at the stake, thank God, but they are hauled before the courts. A notable example in our day is a court case still going on in Finland. The two people charged were exonerated by the court, but now the powers that be higher up are not satisfied, so they're back in court again. Finland was once a solidly Lutheran country, as much as Scandinavia was. But now the Minister for the Interior, Mrs. Päivi Räsänen, and a pastor whom I met some years ago, Johanna Pohjola, have been on trial for upholding what the first chapter in our Bible teaches and which Jesus reiterates and emphasises in St. Matthew and St. John's Gospels. From the beginning, God had created us male and female. They are in court over it. For hate speech. Now, there's a lovely parallel story from Italy and Italy's new Prime Minister, 46-year-old Giorgia Meloni. I don't know how the Italians pronounce Meloni. It's Meloni. In a speech in 2019, she said, now they, she's talking about the rival communists. Italy, for a long time, has had one of the most powerful communist parties in Europe. And today they don't call themselves communist anymore. They've got a different name. But they're basically communist. Now they are talking about getting rid of the words father and mother on documents. Because the family is an enemy. National identity is an enemy. Sexual identity is an enemy. That's their game. They want us to be parent one, parent two, gender, LGBT, citizen X. But we are people, and we will defend our identity. I'm Georgia. I love this bit. I'm Georgia. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm Italian. I'm a Christian. Pardon me for getting emotional. I'm a Christian. Good on her. You will not take that away from me. And she repeated it twice. Repeated it. You will not take that away from me. I'm Georgia. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm an Italian. I'm a Christian. Two DJs in Italy created a dance track called I Am Georgia to ridicule her. But the song became a huge hit. I was reading that in the Spectator Australia this week. Good magazine, by the way, Spectator Australia. Yes, that song, I Am Georgia, became a huge hit. An impressive voice on behalf of basic Christian faith and common sense. Now, the Lord's teaching will always be just as radical and countercultural. He holds up a small, humble child in Matthew 18 as an example of who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he warns us, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to heaven, the one who came into this world to witness to the truth. And we read in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the truth is in Jesus. As simple as that. The truth is in Jesus. And the life. He is the life. The one who brings us already now, as he's done this morning for Francesca, bringing us eternal life and peace in his kingdom. I'll conclude with a little story it goes back some years when we were visiting a church in Rainbow in Victoria, Rainbow Pella, if you know that, in northwestern Victoria, visiting where Christine had some of her roots and the Freebles and others had roots. Visiting there, we visited the old Mackenzie. Her father was Pastor Eric Mackenzie. We visited the old Mackenzie homestead, which is now a ruin. There's an orchard with a few straggling vines there and a few grapes still. We saw that, and that old homestead is no longer a home. And I'm reminded of Hebrews, here we have no lasting city. We seek the city that is to come. But how do we finally get to that heavenly city, that mansion? Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That Sunday, about 12 years ago, after the celebrations in Victoria, in Pella, Rainbow, we weren't sure of the best way to drive from Rainbow to Natamark, if you know where that is. It's where I have my roots, also in the Wimmera. So we asked a couple of men in the Rainbow pub, and they told us, the road from Rainbow to Jeparit is closed. You can try that way if you like, but if you get stuck, don't bother ringing for help. No one will come. You have to drive down the western side of Lake Hindmarsh and keep following the signs to Nil. That's the only way. If you try the other way, you'll be in big trouble. Now, throughout the Western world, sadly, as we all know, so many people are not finding Jesus, are they? They're not finding the way, the truth, and the life, and they're getting themselves in big trouble, all kinds of trouble, lostness, and confusion. But the New Testament tells us again and again, only through faith in God's Son, only through faith and baptism, christening into his name, is their eternal life. Whoever has the Son, this is in 1 John chapter 5, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That simple. And this morning we especially thank our Heavenly Father for for making another tiny little one, little Francesca, his precious child and an heir of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.